You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 368. I'm Ruben, and Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
I'm back. I'm alive. Just barely. The last week, I was about a... wasn't sure I was going to make it. There was a point where I thought I was going to die, then it got bad enough that I was scared I was actually going to live. But I am back. My voice might sound a little bit different.
Are you on the way up, though?
Yes, okay. Yes.
I went through a little spell over the holidays where I was a little bit under the weather as well, mostly just a severe sore throat. Nothing too bad. But I'm back to my former self.
And back to the cold weather.
And back to the cold, yeah. That was took a little bit to adjust, and I'm still not fully adjusted.
But I don't think that ever happens.
You never adjust to it. It's been so long since we've done a podcast, I almost forget the ropes. But there was some changes. Obviously, it's a little more clear what's happening with coaching. Definitely more changes than I think anyone expected after the USC game. Some more changes. And I guess we'll go through the different positions and just share some few thoughts and what the latest development is on that.
Well, first of all, had you expected this many new coaches to be on the staff?
On offense, no. But it wasn't okay. We had talked about this, and Randall, you'd said, well, you don't think Brian Kelly is going to do what he needs to do as far as he's not going to make enough changes.
Yeah.
And I didn't think. He made the change I expected on defense with allowing the defensive coordinator to bring in a couple of guys or one guy, which is what it ended up being. But then offensively, I didn't think that much would change, but it ended up being a big change because his hand looked like it was more forced because Sanford and Denbrock took other jobs.
Yeah, so far I'm very, very impressed. Brian Kelly is doing what needs to be done. Even though I didn't expect him to do it, he's actually doing it.
And
it looks like he is going all out.
And I think there's three areas where he made changes where his hand wasn't really forced. Obviously, allowing Elko, the new defensive coordinator, to bring in someone. He didn't completely replace his staff, which I don't think anyone expected or wanted. But he did bring in a new linebacker coach, pretty close to being for sure. I guess it hasn't been announced yet by Notre Dame, but it looks like Clark Lee will be the linebackers coach most likely. And then I think the next big thing was strength and conditioning. And again, I'm not sure. Did you hear that maybe Paul Longo was going through some health problems?
No, I don't know about that.
Okay, so do you think it was completely? I do know that the players did say that this was one of the complaints the players had in their exit interviews was I don't know the details of it, but they weren't happy with the strength and conditioning program.
Well, from reports from former Notre Dame students, not the guys that are still there, but some other players, they felt like, you know, this is something that could change. Longo was more of a guy. One of the quotes that he had was that he told the players, "You lead from the front, and I'll lead from the back." And another thing was, he said, "Football is a player-driven sport," and so the players had to do a lot of it. It was almost like self-motivation, and you know, he was there to help out, basically. Well, even just not knowing at all how it went, just looking at it from that perspective, like, it's hard to come back from vacation. Like right now, all the players have been off for a couple weeks. They're coming back to Notre Dame. It's hard to get back into those workouts. I mean, I'm sure they were doing some workouts over vacation because that's what they need to do to be at that level of a competition. But you need somebody to motivate you. You need somebody that is going to push you and, I don't know, even yell at you and get you going. Is in your ear, pushing you along.
And I think that can even change from team to team. There might be some years at Notre Dame when there are enough players that are excited about it or are self-motivated to then motivate other guys. And there might be some years where that's not happening, where the coach needs to take more of a leadership role.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the biggest things that needed to change. I do feel like Longo maybe had his hands tied a little bit this last year. I mean, I haven't really been a fan of him for the last couple years because of all the injuries. And part of the reason I think that some of the injuries were because of that, this year they backed off on some things and the injuries went down. And so that was more than just Longo as far as I think. I mean, he was told to, you know, take it easy. They were doing all these extra tests and GPS, just whatever.
And
they could, with all this technology, they could see when there was, they had more info as far as when a player was had too much stress on his knee. I mean, just different things. But I still think that the way they were doing things wasn't the right way to do it. There was way too many injuries. And then the guys were small. Like, you looked at it, just seeing the guys in person, especially the linemen, both sides of the ball, these are huge guys. But Notre Dame's linemen are walking around looking like they have a six-pack. And you watch Alabama and Washington play.
Specifically about the lines, offensive and defensive lines.
Yeah. You walk around, you watch the Alabama-Washington game. I mean, those linemen, both sides of the ball, are just massive.
Okay, I disagree on Alabama's side, yes. On Washington's side, I didn't think they looked
some of their
equal.
Defensive linemen. And look at what, you know, Stephon Tuitt, some of these guys that go down, they get so much bigger once they get in, which obviously every player does. I will say that every player does.
I would like to know for sure, do they really get that much bigger after they go to the NFL? I agree that they look more ripped, but I did look up their weights when they were at Notre Dame for a couple linemen, Ronnie Stanley, which it's only been in the NFL for a year now.
Yeah.
And Zach Martin. And I looked up their weight and it was maybe 7-pound difference.
They just
and maybe those stats. I just looked up on either the main team website, and so maybe those are. They probably don't update them very often. I'm sure
they go up and down.
And so maybe like that. I'm not saying it's scientific what I did by any means.
Well, the numbers. I don't think the numbers show as much as what you think. If you do look, I looked at some of them, and it doesn't seem like that much. But you can see it.
Okay, what do you hope changes? And it probably won't happen overnight, but what...
With the strength and conditioning?
Yeah, strength and conditioning. What are you expecting to see differently?
I want more aggressive players that are still going strong in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so you're looking for more not getting worn down over the course of a game.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with you, but the thing I'm looking for the most is more... explosive play from the linemen is where I hope we see the biggest, where I think we need to see the biggest difference, because I think that I haven't been nearly as critical of the offensive line as a lot of fans have, and especially maybe Tony, but I do think that they could be a little bit more generally across the board more physical, and definitely on the defensive side of the ball, then you don't see nearly enough of Notre Dame's defensive linemen pushing back an offensive lineman or blowing up a couple offensive linemen. Now, we saw it in spurts. Like, Jerron Jones did that a couple times here and there, but we haven't seen it enough consistently. And I think that's maybe where, maybe one area where there could be some physical improvement.
I think the biggest thing is that the strength and conditioning coach is with the players way more than the other coaches are, especially this time of the year during the winter workouts and stuff. I mean, they're with the players when the other coaches aren't, so they have a huge impact on the players. And I think that killer instinct,
inner beast.
Yeah. You know, Brian Kelly said that these guys don't finish out games. You know, that was one of his big complaints this year, is that they just didn't know how to finish out those games. I think that all starts in the weight room. Having somebody there pushing you,
well, and
getting you motivated, and yelling and carrying. I mean, play loud, have the music blaring. Like, Get these guys excited.
What do you think changed from Notre Dame had that killer instinct, I'd say, in 2012 and even in 2 years ago, in 2015. They lost two games, but they won a lot of games that ended up being close, and that was with a defense that was atrocious.
Yeah, it...
So what do you think, like...
This last year, I think they started... The injuries scared the team. All those injuries, I think it affected the guys that were dealing with the strength. And Paul Longo, the strength and conditioning staff, I think it scared them and made them second-guess themselves. I honestly think that it had... All those injuries started making them think twice about the way they were doing things.
Yeah, I'm sure it definitely... It should have. Well, so again, but one thing that I expect to see more from, and Brian Kelly has wanted to do this. Van Gorder definitely did not want to do this, and what I'm talking about is playing more players. Brian Kelly, and when Brian Van Gorder was let go, we did see much more younger guys see the field. So I think that'll have an impact on the team being fresher in the fourth quarter, regardless of the strength and conditioning program. So I don't want to... I'm gonna bring that up next year when you say, oh, man, look at this team. They are going still 100% in the fourth quarter, and I'm gonna say, you know,
they played more guys.
If it's true, I'll say, well, they're also rotating guys a lot more than they did
the past few seasons. I'll be fine with either one. If they're going strong in the fourth quarter, I don't care how it's done. As long as they're going strong. But Matt Bayless he was the strength and conditioning coach for Urban Meyer, which that should probably get a lot of people excited because Urban Meyer puts out great teams wherever he's at. He coached with Meyer at Utah, Florida, and Ohio State. So he's definitely been around winning programs and knows what it takes. And I think that's a big thing with this team. Like, a lot of these coaches that they're bringing in have had a lot of success. Maybe not quite at the level Notre Dame is at, but they have had a lot of success. And I'll just quick go through the other. The hires, the guys that are there.
Yeah, and some of these aren't official yet.
Chip Long is the offensive coordinator, and will likely be tight ends coach. Basically, every stop he's had so far, he's coached the tight ends. And then Autry Denson is still at the running backs. Now, for the wide receivers, we're still not sure exactly what's going to happen there. One name that's been floating around is Delvon Alexander, which is from Arizona State, wide receiver coach. But some of this still has to be ironed out.
And he's someone that's coached with Chip Long in the past, right?
I believe, I can't tell you. I don't know that much about him, but it's a name that is floating around. Nothing's been official or anything like that. Harry Heistan, obviously on offensive line. Then on defense, thing that is missing on the offense is quarterback coach.
Yeah.
And there have been rumors of Tommy Rees being that guy, but, you know, I don't know where that's going because
I never take that seriously.
You hear those rumors,
but
and they
it
talk
sounds...
to Tommy Rees, and he's like, "Oh, he hasn't heard from Notre Dame at all."
You hear those things, and I always think it's mostly a joke. And not that he might be a great coach, but it just
I think he will be. I think he is a good coach.
It's just what makes me chuckle is that this has been said back when he was.
We talked about that.
At Notre Dame.
When he was leaving Notre Dame, we're like, he was playing at Notre Dame, we're like, how long until he's back to be a coach?
Yeah. When he was the backup to
Everett Golson,
it was talked about. And so I just kind of chuckle when I hear it, but I mean, it probably is something that, you know, there's a very good chance he'll coach at Notre Dame sometime.
Well, he was extremely smart, and obviously, one of Brian Kelly's best friends. Biggest buddies, and he just didn't have the physical tools to do it. So right now that would be the 10th assistant coach as a quarterback coach, and a lot of teams have that as an official assistant coach, the quarterback coach, but then don't have a special teams coach. Well, Notre Dame, Brian Kelly is obviously getting serious about special teams and hired Brian Polian as a special teams coordinator. And
are we certain that's a good hire?
I think so. He helped coach special teams before. He's focused on special. I think it's great. And he's in a. You mean as far as being far as a special teams coach, or being a coach?
No, him. Well, him being a special teams coach.
I think
was special teams that great when he was coach a few years ago?
Well, he wasn't. That wasn't his only job. He was coaching other positions as well.
Oh.
We'll see. But that is Notre Dame used their ninth assistant is Brian Poling, the special teams coach, instead of a quarterback coach, which a lot of teams have, and then just everybody pitches in and helps with the special teams. So Brian Kelly's serious about special teams, and he needs to be, because they could have won a couple more games last year if special teams would have held up their end of the deal. So I think it is smart. You might doubt it, but something needed to happen because they lost a couple games because of special teams.
So, and it's not without talent. As far as they have talent, especially in the return game.
Yeah.
And so even with that element, it's surprising that special teams is what – it was close enough that special teams cost a few games.
Yeah. Defensive side of the ball, obviously Mike Elko's defensive coordinator. And he brought one coach with him from Wake Forest, Clark Lee, which is the linebacker's coach there. And that's what he's going to be coaching at Notre Dame, which would mean, you know, that brings the question, what is Elston going to do?
Well,
the thought is that Elston will move back to defensive line, and Gilmore is a name floating out there that probably won't be on the staff, that hasn't been made official. Nothing's happened yet. So that's what it looks to happen. I mean, the news about Clark Lee, you know, just came out. It didn't happen that long ago. So we'll see how everything shakes up. There's some of this stuff could still be rearranged. Todd Light is still a guy that around. I expect him to stay around as the cornerbacks coach. Elko did coach safeties, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that as far as the cornerbacks and the safeties. I honestly want Light just to work with the cornerback, maybe have Elko work with the safeties, because I wasn't impressed how it looked very confusing. It looked like there was a lot of confusion with the safeties this year. So maybe they can straighten some of that out. But that's where we're at now. Guess the big question are still quarterback coach, defensive line. I mean, those are the two main ones probably.
Well, and then the
wide receiver.
The two
coach.
Names are Mike Elston and Keith Gilmore. I mean, Mike Elston has been with Brian Kelly longer.
Oh, he's gonna stick.
So it's most. I mean, he's probably gonna be on the staff. But I know the defensive line hasn't been playing that great, or hasn't been playing great consistently. But I'm not sure if that's all on the shoulders of Keith Gilmore.
Well, then you still have quite a few assistants and analysts. You have Jeff Quinn. A lot of people thought that he might actually be an official assistant coach. But he isn't at this point. Paul Longo is still on the staff. We don't know what his role will be. But Bob Elliott, Greg Hudson, Dave Ballou, Marty Biaggi, and David Grimes, another one.
I just don't see Hudson. I would be surprised if Hudson's still going to be around.
Well, I expect him to be around if he's willing to take, you know, go back to doing what he was doing before he was defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I expect him to be offered, but I just don't expect him to.
Oh, I think he'll be there.
I just assume that he would find a better job somewhere other than just being a.
I don't think he's at that point. He was the face of the new defense.
Well, he's not going to be anymore.
I know, but I'm saying, like,
he is no longer.
You think he did enough to get a job? What's he going to?
Well, he's been an assistant before.
Yeah, I think he'll take.
All right, we'll probably, once more of these names are official, maybe we'll dive into this
one,
more.
One thing I want to point out with all these is there are a lot of good recruiters on here.
Yeah.
Brian Poling was this recruiting coordinator. Chip Long
was. You mean
was
when he was
at Notre Dame?
When he was at Notre Dame.
Chip Long was, in 2015, he was rated as a top 25 recruiter by 24/7 and some other sites. So all these guys are great at recruiting. So right now the recruiting is kind of, it's hard to tell what's going to happen. Notre Dame's losing commitments. So it's like, what's going on? But, you know, today Paulson Adebo decommitted. And last week it was a Jordan Pouncey decommit. So that's 5 decommitments in this class, and they're down to 16 commitments with only a couple weeks left until signing day. And it looks bad, but I still think they're going to pick up some guys, and it's probably going to be guys that you haven't heard much about. You have all these new assistants coming in, and they're going out recruiting guys that they have been recruiting. Just like Elko is going after some guys that he's been recruiting. And a lot of new offers have gone out in the last couple weeks. And I think Notre Dame will get a couple more commitments before signing day. But I think it's going to be guys that kind of come out of nowhere or you haven't heard much about them just because it's new names that these assistants brought along. And Notre Dame is reaching a little further than they had been early in the year.
As far as they're reaching down the pecking order?
Yeah.
Down the totem pole.
But now that they are getting things figured out, I think you will start seeing more positive stuff with the recruiting. And I was thinking about this the last while, you know, all these, especially watching the high school all-star game, like the Under Armour game and the U.S. Army game. These guys, we often talk about the bad record, the 4-8. I'm sure that does, that, you know, plays in it somewhat. But the biggest thing is the coaching changes. But because it's not all.
They've had relationships with these coaches that might no longer be at Notre Dame.
But I really wonder how much of it is record too. Because what makes me think that is when you're watching an all-star game and a guy commits to
Clemson.
No, a school that is not going to win a championship. Oh, in the like next 4 years. They're
going to Cal.
Yeah, a school that is not even near the top right now.
Yeah.
If it's all about championships and stuff, these guys wouldn't be committed. And these are guys with offers from big schools that could win championships, with offers from Alabama. A guy picked Oregon State in the Army game.
Well, some guys would rather than play on a big team or on a great team, they'd rather be the greatest player on the team.
That's true.
Which would maybe give them a better shot in the NFL.
So it's a lot more than just a better shot in the NFL. I'm not saying the record doesn't do anything. It doesn't have an effect. I mean, it does, but I don't think it's quite as much as we
think sometimes. So just for fun, to me it's clear that the biggest loss that Notre Dame had, just from face value, like who is the best position coach that Notre Dame lost, it was clearly Denbrock. He coached wide receivers, and wide receivers have been very, very good under Denbrock.
Yeah.
And he also had a hand in either play calling or game planning. Would there be another guy that you would have chosen?
No, I would say Denbrock. Most people, a lot of people, are probably going to say Sanford. I just cannot believe that he jumped and got a head coaching job at Western Kentucky. Yes, he is. You know, it's a big name. You know, there's a lot of excitement around him, but tell me what all he did at Notre Dame. Like, I would expect
it's not,
a Denbrock.
It's not just about Notre Dame. I mean,
I know.
He was offensive coordinator before that.
Yeah.
And so he has had
higher. He's living
positions
on the hype. I hope he does very well at Western Kentucky. I do. I'm excited to watch, see what he does. He's tweeting out pictures. His staff is tweeting out pictures of him, you know, calling recruits. And he's loving it. He's a young guy. I think he's great at the head coach. He's full of he's got a lot of energy.
He does.
And I think he is going to do a good job. But I think a lot of it is the hype.
Well, we'll see. On a little side note, I was over the holidays, I was talking with a relative, and we were talking about the impact that a coach has versus players on a team. So there's 22 players, offensive, defense, on a football team, and you know there's one head coach and there's a handful of assistant coaches. It's kind of hard to put in numbers. You know, do you go by how many wins is this coach worth, or what's the point total this coach might be worth? And I think he's worth, I mean, if you would take just if you would take Saban and put him on a team that was 6-6, I think automatically with the same players they go 8-4. And I think I'm being, if anything, that's not enough. Like I think coaching is huge, and it's not just a head coach. He obviously has his assistants, and I'm not saying the players aren't valuable, but I do think that the most important key is the head coach, because he ends up hiring his assistants and he's in charge of the program as a whole. Would you agree, or do you think it's more if more getting a star player?
It's a little bit of both, because look at what Saban did at LSU.
I know, but I think he's a better coach now.
Yeah, I agree. It does. I just wish Nick Saban would just go to another team. I don't care where it's at. Just go to another team, and we could all see what happens.
I would love to as well.
I mean, Urban Meyer kind of did that, but he went from...
I know, but they weren't that great under their fill-in coach.
Fickle?
Yeah.
I know, but it's still Ohio State. I mean, they
still had great talent, but that kind of goes to show that kind of goes to show, though, even though with all that talent, Fickell wasn't able to get him to a BCS bowl game.
I agree. Here's an idea I've had before. Why not have one preseason game? You know, all these coaches want to play some easy cupcake team the first week. So let's play an easy game, maybe 2 weeks before, and for that one day, let's just switch the coaches around.
I'm with you on the preseason. I'm not with you
okay,
on...
Okay, maybe the coaches are going a little far.
I'm not with you on the coaches, but I'm definitely with you on the preseason game. Okay, let's talk a little bit about just a big overview. Chip Long to the team. Notre Dame put out a press release. And Brian Kelly did say he will be fully responsible to call plays in 2017.
That is one of the biggest shockers.
That might be more shocking than even hiring a coach to replace Denbrock. Him giving over the play-calling job to someone else.
I'm guessing that had to happen to get Chip Long to come.
Probably.
Don't you think?
Probably.
I mean, he had to have some involvement in that. I don't think Chip Long would have... come, you know, hey, you do the game planning, I'll call the games.
What are you going to see differently? In the press release, Brian Kelly talked about how Chip Long likes to use, he's able to create mismatches, and he does this in a variety of ways. One way that he does it is by using different personnel, including two or three tight end sets, and even multiple running back formations. So, Brian Kelly loved that one tight end, one running back personnel. And I think the reason was because he thought that was the best way to see where the mismatch was. Was it, did they bring an extra guy in the box? Well, we're going to pass it. Did they try to protect against the pass? Well, we're going to run it. And so I think that's one area that will immediately see big differences. How many times Chip Long tries to, instead of just sitting back and seeing the mismatch, he's going to create a mismatch by bringing in either a heavier run package with a couple tight ends or with a couple running backs, and then trying to find the mismatch off of that versus just using the same personnel for the vast majority of the plays. And I personally do like one tight end, one running back kind of as the base, because I just like what it gives you with one. It gives you one receiver in the slot. It gives you guys on the outside, and you've still got a running back in the game too. So I do like that, but I think that sometimes you need to mix it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is how they're going to use the tight ends. I think we're going to see more from our tight ends with Chip Long. I mean, tight ends is his specialty. And I think he'll be able to get more production out of the guys that Notre Dame has. I mean, they have, what, six tight ends this next year?
But I still think, I mean, I think there was a lack of talent.
I'm not arguing that.
With Alizé being suspended and then you having Wisher and Smythe, I don't think those are the quite close to the same
caliber. But I think
you
get more out of them than what we had this last year.
Yeah, I think you definitely could have got more out of them.
And Chip Long had to love the situation he's coming into with the depth at running back, wide receiver, tight end. I mean, Notre Dame has a lot of offensive players.
Experienced offensive line.
The biggest thing, the quarterback, but Brian Kelly thrives with a new quarterback. So, I'm definitely feeling more positive about this season. I think a lot of people are. Brian Kelly is making the moves. Seems like he's pulling out all the stops, and he's going to go down firing. I mean, he's doing whatever he can.
His back's against the wall. I mean,
true.
Yeah. All right, and then on defense, Mike Elko, new defensive coordinator, and Brian Kelly has said that he does like what three down gives you as far as kind of some flexibility, and Mike Elko has done a little bit of both, so we'll probably see both this season.
Yeah, I think they use both, especially with the players Notre Dame has. I mean, the guys they have, you know, they're better set up for a 4-3. But I think they'll use both. We'll see both this year, more like we did at the end of the year. The thing I like most about Elko is he likes using the linebackers, and they play very aggressive. And so with Niles Morgan coming back and with the other linebackers we have, I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching these linebackers play.
And Elko, I mean, he was coaching in the ACC, so it's not like it's in some. Go ahead.
He coached the bowl game, Wake Forest bowl game against Temple, mm-hmm. and that's who Notre Dame's first game is. So that's, he's right, going to end coaching against Temple, and he's going to be coaching his first game at Notre Dame against Temple, which is perfect.
And what I was getting at, he's coached in the ACC, which is where a lot of our opponents are from. And also, he's done very well defensively with players who are 2 and 3 stars. And at Notre Dame, you know, we weren't sure what was always going wrong this season. Was it the lack of talent, or was it just coaching? What all was going wrong? But definitely, I mean, hopefully we get some more talent, and we need to, especially on the defensive line. But he's done a really good job with you know, players who aren't they're not 3 and 4 stars, they're 2 and 3 stars.
Yeah. So I think that's going to help. Maybe this recruiting class doesn't look as great and star-studded on paper, but if they do reach a little more to get some of these players, Elko's the guy that you want coaching them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Solon wrote a couple articles, and he's got one more coming out. And you can read him over at our website, irishsportstalk.net. All three of them are going to be about off-season changes. First one was about offense. The second one was about defense. And there's a couple points that hits on defense. the areas that he sees that the defense needs to improve on: fundamentals and assignment over scheme. And that was something that Brian Van Gorder preached. It was something that Charlie Weiss preached, that they wouldn't get out schemed. And that might have been more on the offensive side of the ball. But definitely, Brian Van Gorder, it seemed like he came in believing that he could scheme his way into pressure, into turnovers, and into making the opposing offense, uncomfortable. Instead, he just made the Notre Dame fan base uncomfortable. But that's something that Elko is focused, or there needs to be a focus on, more of a fundamentals and assignment. And, you know, at the beginning of this year, one of the biggest complaints was tackling was not happening consistently, and that got a lot better over this after Van Gorder was fired. But hopefully we won't be in that situation where there's a couple games where Notre Dame is just missing tackles. And then the second point was creating a pass rush. And Notre Dame, we didn't see a sack until, I believe,
fourth game.
Solon mentioned here in his article, yeah, fourth quarter of the fourth game before Notre Dame got their first sack, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah. There was only one team that...
Wasn't it Duke, or wasn't it a team that Notre Dame was playing?
Yeah, I think so. It was down to the last two teams without a sack.
Anyway. And then the final point, rotating more players. and this is actually something we hit on a little bit earlier in the podcast, but rotating more players helps keep guys fresh for the end of the game when you're ready to shut teams out, close out the game in the fourth quarter. And it also, it keeps guys that aren't starters, you know, if they're getting, you know, 7 or 8 snaps a game, hopefully it's a little bit more than that, but if they're getting at least a couple snaps per game, I do think that'll just help keep them more engaged during the week of practice.
Yeah.
And as that becomes more of a culture, too, I think that you might even see that carry over from year to year in the spring when older players are able to tell the incoming freshmen that, hey, you're going to play this year, so make sure you're, like, the, I guess not the freshmen, maybe, but the sophomores.
Well, that does make a difference when players see that. One example is Alabama picked up another quarterback commit, and some people were surprised that he committed with Alabama's quarterback being a true freshman. And he was like, he didn't see that as, oh, he's not going to play the next year. He sees it as Saban's, they're going to play the best player. If I'm better than him, they're going to play me, even if I'm a true freshman. So that does make a difference to the players. Like, I mean, they mm-hmm. see that, recruits see that.
All right, so check that out over on irishsportstalk.net. Also, check out the forums. There's going to be more recruiting news coming up. Maybe you have some thoughts or some insights on that. And that's forums.irishsportstalk.net. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. We haven't done a podcast in a few weeks, but we'll be back on our normal weekly schedule, recording on Monday evenings, and you'll be seeing them in your feed probably around 9 p.m. or so Eastern time. Anything else, Randall, before we close this?
Do you have a prediction for the championship game tonight?
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. Well, first off,
I don't want to talk about it for too long.
First off, I do just want to say, whenever there's two teams I dislike, and you can't root for any team, I'll just root for one of them to be embarrassed. And so Clemson, Ohio State, I'm not the biggest Clemson fan, and I hate Ohio State. So I was just hoping that one of them would be embarrassed. And that was just so
That couldn't have gone any better.
Oh, it was beautiful.
The only thing that could have gone better is if Clemson would have scored a couple more touchdowns.
Alabama's favored by a handful of points. I think it started out being about around 6 or 7 points, and I think it's down to maybe 3 or 4 now. But I do think Alabama, they're the better team, and I think they're gonna win this game.
Ruben, you have to be like every other, if you're in a conference, you got to root for your conference.
No, I will not do that. And we're halfway in the ACC, and I will not cheer for a team just because we're in our conference.
I'm rooting for Clemson all the way. I cannot stand Alabama. I'm tired of them winning every year, and I'm ready to see some change at the top. But this is a rematch of last year, so really there's not a whole lot of change.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be like – I think it'll be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way.
I saw a stat where it was – Alabama versus every quarterback, and the average, and then it was versus Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
And I forget the average, but it was maybe 130 or 150 yards passing. And it was obviously just one game to go off of, but against Deshaun Watson, he had almost 400 yards passing. And it gave the touchdown interception ratio, and it's something like maybe, I forget, maybe 3 to 4, 3 touchdowns to 4. Interceptions, and Deshaun Watson was 4-1 or 3-1, something like that. And well, so, and it's just based off one game.
Yeah.
And I just think that I will also be cheering for Clemson because I'm just sick of Alabama and Nick Saban. But I do think that Saban, I mean, he's the best.
Yeah, it's hard to argue
they'll,
that.
I think they'll figure out a way to not shut out, but at least to limit Watson. They were shown what he could do last year, and I think they'll have an answer defensively for him.
Well, I will say the Alabama-Washington game was closer. In my opinion, it was closer than what the score said. I mean, it was back and forth. Alabama's offense isn't that great. I mean, they get their running back starts dominating in the fourth quarter. But it'll be interesting to see how much their switch at offensive coordinator will do. Steve Sarkisian is calling plays, and like the solid verbal pointed out, if you start searching Steve Sarkisian calling plays, Google will remind you that people did not like it at USC. And just with Lane Kiffin leaving, I mean, there's drama around that, and I don't know what all happened. But hopefully it caused enough of a stir. This is enough of a change that gives Clemson the edge.
It could be. Yeah, you're right. It definitely
could
be.
I'm just throwing that out. I'm just hoping to be surprised. I don't expect
Clemson you expect, to win. You expect Alabama to win.
Yes.
All right. That's it then. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter if you want to. Irish Sports Talk. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.